Today's podcast is sponsored by Colt Kits, the best place to find original vintage jerseys for your favorite clubs, both home and abroad. And if you want to go full kit wanker, they have a great collection of shorts, socks, and boots. Cleats. They're called cleats. I'm so excited to join the Creator Collective team at Colt Kits, especially because each purchase you make using my code helps support the content you're about to enjoy. For 10% off your purchase from coltkits.com, click the link in my bio or use the code Cheyenne10 when you check out. Let's get into it. Hey guys, it's Cheyenne with Between Clean Sheets back for another episode that I did not originally have scheduled for this trip. If you don't know, I'm currently in Pasadena. Mourning the unexpected postponing of El Tráfico, the home opener, season opener, opener of all the things for the 2023 season, where LAFC would be playing LA Galaxy at the Rose Bowl freaking stadium, which, as we're talking right now, I am less than a half mile from. The second that I heard this game was happening, I booked the trip, made the plan to come out. The rest of the schedule hadn't even come out yet, but I knew that I wanted to be there. I don't know. I was expecting a really awesome game. I had never been to an El Tráfico before. I thought I had never been to the Rose Bowl before. Turns out my older sister, Kelsey, who came out from Utah to be here with me, said that in either 2003, 2004, she and I both went to Kiss FM's Wango Freaking Tango. It's just called Wango Tango. But we went to Wango Tango at the Rose Bowl. We had won tickets on the radio. And if I remember correctly from the airbrush tee that we got outside of the stadium, the Backstreet Boys were there, Enrique Iglesias, Hillary and Haley Duff, you know, classic artists, classic musicians. So I got in Thursday night. Friday midday, I found out that the game was being postponed because of inclement weather. There was a ton of rain, flooding in Pasadena, flooding in Burbank. In fact, the San Gabriel Mountains that surround that area of Los Angeles County, we're anticipating snow, which is just not something that Los Angeles deals with. I completely understood, but my sister Kelsey hadn't flown in yet. And so I called her and said, hey, do you want to still come? Thing is, we both grew up in Southern California, and any opportunity that we have to be out there, especially for me, since I've been on the East Coast for a while now, it's just something we won't pass up. Plus, we had tickets to my favorite and my childhood theme park, Knott's Berry Farm, and that's Sunday. So we had to make it through the weekend. I kind of racked my brain, though, from a content perspective and wondered what I could do to salvage the weekend, and I got a little obsessive about it. I'm not going to lie. I didn't take this schedule change super well. I think because I quit my job almost 2 months ago, and I'm really trying to lean into content, even if I'm not ready to make it a full-time thing yet, I envisioned this home opener, huge game in front of a huge crowd to be like the big first step for me. With the Apple TV deal, this just seems like a much bigger opportunity. So I ended up going through my contacts and trying to find people with whom I could either make content or people in my network who had suggestions for what I could do. I don't know why I put this pressure on myself and why I couldn't just enjoy a weekend in Los Angeles. But the other thing was, I really couldn't even enjoy myself. It was so rainy, so rainy. All that to say, the guest that I met up with for this podcast, her name is Megan Reyes. She is a jack of all trades and also a master of them all. Social media consultant and specialist, an influencer herself, a content creator herself, has worked in soccer, has worked in basketball. The most contact I've ever had with her, the most interaction that I've ever had with her has been through DMs, either on Twitter or on TikTok. I know that she has existed in this space. I know how big of a role she plays in the growth of the sport, especially on behalf of marginalized communities who are participants, but not necessarily given the opportunity to be leaders. And even without pressing record, I have always wanted to talk to her. So I reached out and said, listen, here's the situation. I would love to chat with you. I would love for it to be a get to know you conversation. I don't have anything planned. I just would also like to press record. And then what I didn't tell her was, I also plan to go to Target, buy a mic, return it the next day. And that's exactly what we did. For that reason, it is a little all over the place from my perspective. I think she is an incredible woman, someone you should be following and paying attention to if you don't already. But I will say that she helped really turn my weekend around. And I feel blessed to have the opportunity to speak with her, given the fact that she's actually not even a Los Angeles resident, which I didn't know. She did the 110 football program or show, just like my first podcast guest, Jen Munoz, did. And I assumed that because she did content for Angel City in Los Angeles, that she lived there. She does not. She lives, well, now that I say it, I can't even remember, either Sacramento or Oakland. I'm pretty sure she lives in Sacramento. She just happened to be in town for an NBA event. My luck, right? So without further ado, please enjoy this casual chat with Megan Reyes.
I would pick your brain for hours because there are questions that I have that I want to ask people who do content and then also consult people who do put content out. The question I always start with is, when you're capturing something, how often do you stress yourself out wondering if you should do it vertically versus horizontal? Or are you kind of just, I guess, fine with the fact that everything's going to be vertical, TikTok reel-esque?
That's a really good question. I've gotten to the point where I shoot everything vertical now. And so I have a camera very similar to yours, a Sony
point and shoot.
Yeah. And I, when I first got it, because I'm now really trying to put time and effort into YouTube, as we know, there's a lot of money on YouTube. And so I'm shooting everything just standard, thinking that I can then later splice it for TikTok. Right. And of course, unless you have the right lens and the right angle, it's actually very difficult to do. And then it became more of a toss-up of which one would I rather have, because I could then just turn the camera vertically. And to me, I'm losing some of that full YouTube size that I want. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to my camera, I just shoot it horizontally. And if I can later edit it in a 9x16 for TikTok and shorts and all that fun stuff, great. If not, I just stopped stressing over it.
Right.
But if I'm on my phone, everything is going to be vertical.
Yeah.
And I hate that's the case, because one of the videos I put up a couple weeks ago was off my camera and there was no way I could have edited it to be 9x16, but I was not going to put in the effort. And so I edited it and posted it horizontally, and I don't think it did that well, unfortunately, because that's just
how
the
goes.
Name in the game.
Right.
But I'm learning to not care.
That's okay. So I was thinking of you the other day when I responded to your tweet and said that imperfect action is better than perfect action.
By the way, that's stayed burned in mind ever since you sent that to me.
It's funny you say that, because the whole reason I think I discovered your entire online persona was because you had written that op-ed about Simone Biles. And it started with a friend of mine recently taught me the phrase vulnerability hangover. And I use that phrase all the time. And I followed you because I thought, this girl knows exactly what I'm thinking from a mental health perspective. I was thinking about it from the perspective of when you are vulnerable with someone, or when you explain your mental health struggles to somebody, because we're still in a stigmatized space and don't really know how to communicate or how people perceive you because of those things, sometimes they hold on to your story in a way that holds you back when you interact with them in the future. And so I've had times where when I'm, especially on social media, and I don't know what your audience is like, but mine's 85% male across all my platforms. And so when I decide to be vulnerable, the way that people respond to that sometimes is really nice and comforting in the moment. But then after the fact, a week later, someone will still hold on to it. It's almost like they plant a flag in that statement or in that sentiment. And then you can travel miles away from it. But they'll say, hey, remember that one time, that thing back there that you said? Do you still feel that way? I'm like, I stopped thinking about that a long time ago. But because they only see so much on social media. And I know they're trying to connect, but to me, it's like, it's such a nuanced space. Which is really tough. So.
Yeah. What's funny is actually that friend that had shared that with me was Jenny Chu.
Oh my gosh.
She was the one that shared that with me. And it was when I did my Amplified podcast, because I had her as a guest. And she really opened up. And I had wrapped interviewing all my guests. I had started interviewing slash wrapped probably May to June, maybe July. For her, it was May. Because I remember, like, she had just finished doing Champions League final. And my podcast didn't come out until about October. And so sometime between then, rightfully so, she got a little bit anxious. She had felt like she really opened up. In her mind, she felt like she had overshared. And the interview hadn't been released yet, so she was a little bit anxious about if she had overshared and when it was coming out, how it was being framed. And the text was just, have you ever heard of the term vulnerability hangover? No, what is that? She taught me a lot. And she said, one, it came up because I was feeling this way about the interview. And B, you know, I learned this is really common among women. And so I just learned it. And I challenge you to just remember that it's okay and not to get hard on yourself. And
right,
it really resonated with me because I thought about it and I looked back and it makes sense now why early on in my therapy journey, I would just be so tired the next day.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Or if I have a very deep conversation with a friend, you're just so tired because you really opened up and it was a very cathartic experience. And I learned that a lot too on social media. One, the vulnerability aspect of that phrase on social media is really huge to come out and share these things about yourself. And to your point, people remember it for better or for worse. And a similar experience when I talk about vulnerability hangover, when on Angels Wear Boots, I shared my experience with my ectopic pregnancy. And I mean, that's a whole another nuanced thing I could go down about the fact that I sometimes forget about it because I processed it in a way that felt right to me. And people will bring it up, you know, remember when you did this on the show and that was really cool and I felt this way. And actually, I'd completely forgotten about that. And I've now been almost 3 years removed and moved on from it. And thanks for reminding me. Again, I know you're giving it as, hey, that was really cool. You did that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I never really thought about it until you said that. It can be sometimes it brings you back because I put it out there. It literally lives on the internet for people to find and look at. And
right,
you forget. Because I did it and through that process helped me move on from it, but it still lives in perpetuity for anybody to find.
Right.
And bring up whether or not you really want to relive it.
Well, I spend a lot of time on TikTok. I know you post on TikTok. I don't know if it sucks you in the way it sucks me in.
I go through moments.
Yeah. Right. Me too. Yeah. A very healthy relationship with it. But I have this conversation with my sisters a lot that it's so strange to see the way that people grow their platform. And it's usually based on the thing that they go viral for.
Mm-hmm.
And in a mental health space or in a season of your life, when that happens, sometimes you want to grow away from it, but you're stuck because you have 50,000, 100,000, however many followers who are like, well, I started following you because you talked about XYZ. I'm not really interested in what you're doing now. I understand it probably happens to everybody. I mean, there's some lifestyle influencers that I've followed who got pregnant and had like an entire family and bought a house. And I'm like, well, I'm single and alone. I cannot relate. So like unfollow, like great for you. I love it. But I think that there's this weird space that to take it to maybe a lighter area. When I think about social and communications, marketing, and all the things that surround sports, sometimes when you do that like post-game question toward a player, like what was going through your mind? I'm like, a lot of things, okay? Mm-hmm. Like these are human beings who have so much else going on. But of course, the answer that they're going to give you is like, well, we were down one, just trying to grab another goal. Okay, bye. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's this weird balance that is sometimes never struck to get to the heart of things, but also to understand that things are very fluid and changing. And I feel like that's a nice little theme for sports in general. That I think that you, from what I've realized in following you, that you do really well. It just so happens that you got your start in soccer.
And we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by the life-changing choice I made in January to leave my 10-year career in DC and make more time for soccer content. I'm kidding, but I'm also not kidding because now I have a ton of time to share with you more of the things I love, like Built Bar. Built protein bars are made with real chocolate and high quality protein. They come in a ton of like dessert flavors that satisfy my sweet tooth, but they also provide the fuel that I need to power through all of my footy travel. I actually brought some of them with me when I went to Doha. You can support my podcast by using my affiliate code BTWN Clean Sheets at checkout on built.com. So not only can you satisfy your cravings, but you can also support the content that you love. Visit built.com today and use my code Between Clean Sheets and let me know what your favorite flavor ends up being. Also, try the puffs. Those things are incredible.
When you're not doing work in the soccer space, how do you consume soccer? Like, how do you participate in the soccer community?
It's a really good question. I think I'll go back to how it even started because I've been asked this question a lot recently. Well, my first introduction in the soccer space was when I was 21. I was in college and I had an internship with the Timbers first the summer before my senior year. And really that was just, I wanted a job in sports. The team had been MLS for a year. I mean, truthfully, I didn't know anything about them, but I was just like, sports job, apply. And the Timbers called me and interviewed me and hired me. Great, I guess I'm moving to Portland. My brother lived there, and so it was less of a scare. I lived with them for the summer, and I have so much love for them because I look back on it, and him and his wife were married for probably 5 years, had two kids under four, and then their 21-year-old sister moves in.
Oh my gosh.
To their two-bedroom apartment, and I have so much respect for them. They didn't charge me rent if they needed me to babysit or, you know, it was my turn to cook. That was how I paid them, but essentially they let me live with them for the summer so I could intern for the Timbers. And I just remember my first day, someone that I worked with made a joke. Do you even know what's going on? No clue. I have no idea what's going on. But that was a really cool club to work for as someone being newly introduced to soccer. Is a place like the Timbers, and the match day experience there was really incredible. And then after that, my career really took me into the NBA. And then on the media side. And when I left my last full-time job and went freelance and I promoted it, you know, I'm available for freelance and these are the areas that I'm exploring and I'm open to projects for, everything that came in my inbox was in soccer. And I've been telling this story recently and at the time I didn't really understand it. And now that I'm in this space, I really think it's because we know the sport is growing. And I have a lot of friends and peers that do what I do, excellent jobs in basketball and in football, especially when it really comes to content creation and working with athletes. There's a lot of money to be made in the NBA and the NFL. These guys have money. And
right.
They have been a little bit more progressive than in the soccer space as far as building their brands and their projects outside of their sport. And I just think there wasn't enough people doing that in soccer. And so when I made myself available for freelance, everything that came my way was in the sport. And as it goes, you do the work, you promote it. Oh, she does this for this team. And then it kind of compounded from there. Mm-hmm. And so it really was not by design that I would get into soccer. It was never my intention. However, I love it now. And I had already started to become very interested in the sport, you know, years prior. But I do think it is the best time. And you know, people are paying attention. And I'm even excited. I saw someone tweet this just the other day, how it just feels like there's a different buzz around this MLS season. And
right.
People are really paying attention. And we know that when the World Cup is here in a few years, people are going to want to be a part of it. Well, you should have been a part of it, like, well, way before. And so all of this to say that in my career, especially I use the example of the Warriors, I was there for 4 years. And when I left, I really needed space from the team and from the sport. And I still have never really renewed that love for basketball. I still have so much appreciation and respect for it. It's just really difficult for me to consume games and content the way I once did. Same with American football. And so I've learned my lesson in which I try to really balance how I consume soccer content when I'm not working because it's the one thing I have.
Right.
It's the one thing I have left.
Right.
And I still very much enjoy it. And I want to make sure that I don't lose it the way I once. You know, when I worked in the NBA, I never thought I'd stop consuming.
Oh, sure.
It.
Yeah.
And then I do. And even when I go to games, it just kind of brings me back to a place of I feel like I'm working. And I don't want that to happen. So as much as it sucks that I haven't been able to watch today's games at the same time, I'm kind of okay with it because I really want to make sure that I can balance the work and then for leisure. And so to stay active, it's, you know, even though I'm not watching games, I'm here with you. I'm getting to hang out with other people in the space. So even if it's just having conversations with other friends or creatives in the space and building ideas and thinking about future projects or things that we can all collaborate on to grow, you know, especially for me, the women's side is always going on. It's always going on in my mind. It's always conversations I'm having. I just might not always have maybe a game on.
Right.
Or things like that. And even with all this really exciting Apple TV content, I've had to watch it in doses because it's really overwhelming. There's so much content.
Yes.
And yes. Because I'm in this creative building phase of things I want to do in a similar vein, I don't want to fully consume all this content and then also try and create myself, because then for me, that's where I start to play that really evil game of comparison. Or I see like, okay, well, Apple just produced all this content and these ideas I have, I'm never going to be able to have Apple level.
Right.
So I really have to figure out a balance, and I really have to tell myself when, let's just turn on a Netflix show maybe. Or
yeah,
when it comes to TikTok, obviously all our timelines are curated a certain way. And if I'm scrolling on TikTok and I'm seeing maybe a little bit too much soccer content, then I'll just close out of it because that's when it becomes too consuming.
I also think sometimes it's a lot to just consume social media and try to enjoy it, because I think one thing I try to explain to my friends is I can't just sit and watch someone's content without thinking about the time that they put in to set it up, how they approached it. For YouTube, even as I've dabbled and attempted to do stuff, to me, I'm like, how did they approach that weekend vlog? Like, what did they decide to do? Do they carry their camera with them?
I'm like, that angle was really incredible. Like, how they set up their camera.
Right.
It's not the same.
Yeah. It's like, it's not even the, oh, I'm interested in how the sausage gets made. It's like, my brain can't not think about it. And now the entire thing is ruined for me. Mm-hmm. So I hadn't thought about it, but it makes a ton of sense to maintain that balance. And I even think for me, one thing I was just telling my sister this before you got here was, I think when I interact with people in my space, in my community, the assumption is that soccer is my entire life. And the whole reason why I created Between Clean Sheets was to have a creative outlet that was separate of all the other things I have going on. I have like played the organ and piano for my church. I had a whole, until recently, had a whole career in politics, and I like to do a lot of things outdoors. I travel a ton, spend a lot of time with my family. And those things just, especially because I was embarrassed of what Between Clean Sheets was to begin with, I always kept them very, very separate. But now that I've kind of put them all together, I still find myself talking to people who are like, you weren't at that game, or you missed that match, or you haven't heard that news. And I think, yeah, because I just don't... I don't want to go too hard. I don't want to do it too much, because this is one thing I really, really enjoy now. And if I hate it, especially after I just quit my job, what else am I going to have to kind of like dive into creatively?
It's really hard. And so I was actually having this conversation today with someone who does, it's different. He does more talent management for fun, and said, I'd love to maybe one day make it full time, but right now it's dabbling in it on the side, and kind of joked, do you have any advice? And I said, yeah, my advice is don't make it your job. Because when I was at my last full-time job and I started to play around with TikTok and do all these things, it was fun.
Right.
And then I quit my job and I became a creator. And now, to what we were just saying, I don't consume content the same way. I don't post the way I once did. Because now my concern is quality and brands. And now I don't want to post things unless well, are they going to pay me? And that's not how it was ever intended to for me. And now that's how it is. And so for you, I would say, don't become jaded, because then this was meant to be your passion.
Right.
And if you can, I would say very much keep it your passion, because it very quickly becomes your job and then it's no longer your passion. It's how you eat.
Yeah, I think the freelance life, I've had a lot of people give me opinions that are across the board on what it's been for them and how they have made it work or how it hasn't worked. But I think that is a really hard thing to explain to my parents. I don't know if your parents are like, I don't know what this is. It doesn't make any sense. But the stress of the uncertainty is one thing that really does terrify me. And I know that you could speak to that quite well. The uncertainty, I don't know if it's something that really eats at you, but it sounds freeing. But at the same time, it also sounds like you, at times, you might be swimming in the deepest part of the ocean, just wondering like, all right, not sure which direction I'm headed in, but right now I have the strength to keep paddling, so I'm going to keep going.
I mean, if you can see my face right now, it's because, in all honesty, that's where I'm at right now. And now that I've been freelance for about a little less than a year and a half, I look at, you know, the people, I joke, like, I hate LLC Twitter, the people that are like, get an LLC, quit your job, whatever. It's great. It's really not. It's great. It's freeing. Yes. For right. me personally, I had a great full-time job, six figures, paid very well. I was comfortable. I should have been set. And it just wasn't for me. And I, at the event I was at earlier, literally was telling a friend that there are times when I get very stressed out and I look at it and I say, I could go back to the job. I could try and get that title back somewhere, same pay. But I wasn't happy personally, mm-hmm. and it wasn't even the job. It just wasn't meant for me. And I don't want to live my life that way. So it is very freeing to be freelance because I get to decide, okay, I'm going to come to LA this weekend and do this and create this content and do this and make my own schedule. And if I want to do this project, I can. If I don't, I don't have to. And at the same time, it's very hard. And that uncertainty, to be honest with you, is in the back of my mind every day. Mm-hmm. And every day I'm thinking, because one thing, and maybe people have shared this with you, one thing that's really difficult is a lot of freelancers, I feel like, experiences at first, they say yes to everything because you never know if the money's going to come back. And then you're working on projects that you don't really care about.
Yeah.
And so now I've learned to be very intentional. And sometimes that means maybe the money's not coming in the way it once was. However, I'm not spending my time doing things I don't love just for the money. And so it's always a push and pull and it's always back and forth. And some months, like last year, I'm great. I have all the projects and I can't even honestly like take an exploratory call because like I just don't have the bandwidth. And the other months, to be honest, like January, I'm sitting around and you're like, oh my God, I think I need to go work at, I don't know, Starbucks.
You're like, new year, new me.
Yeah, because
new job.
what am I doing with my life?
And, right.
But to be very honest with you, since I've been a freelancer, I have this conversation with myself every day.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm much happier doing this. And a lot of this year is going to be just having to take chances and invest in myself. And that's okay. And I'm fortunate that I'm able to do that. Not everyone has that opportunity. So I'm learning to take in my lessons as I can. But it is really difficult. And it is hard when it becomes your job.
I was thinking some of the things that you were saying sound like advice that you probably give your clients, the social media clients that you have that are professional athletes.
Yes.
What are some pieces of advice that you give them that you really wish you would take yourself? I know there are probably times where you find yourself giving them great advice and then you're like, Megan, listen to yourself.
Yeah, I would say two things. One is, as an outside person, for example, if a brand comes to them and, you know, there's a certain campaign, this product, and they don't give them too many parameters, which is always great because I love when a brand doesn't give too many restrictions and I hate when they do. And so I always tell them, just be yourself, show your personality, you know, show how you would, the content you would normally create and just incorporate this brand or this product or whatever, maybe in a very organic way. And I'm telling them, it's not as hard as it's meant to be. But then it's the same for me when I have something at home that, to be quite honest with you, I've been putting off doing the campaign because I'm in my head about it when it's not supposed to be that hard.
Right.
And then the other thing too, which I've learned in my experience, and I could go on probably a whole nother tangent on this, is I feel like the people I've worked with, at least in the soccer space, are afraid too much about how people are perceiving them when they're working with brands and doing sponsored content, because they don't want to be perceived as not focusing on soccer.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that.
I asked someone about it, and I said, is it just inherent to the sport? Because again, I haven't worked with athletes in other sports, so I don't know if that's the same. And it could just be because it's somewhat new. Again, the sport is still growing. So some of these things that athletes in the NFL, they've been doing it for years prior, and it's still kind of new. So that to say that I think they get a little bit hesitant or hard on themselves about likes or whatever it may be. And I tell them, no one cares.
Right.
No one cares. And even if it doesn't get that many likes, no one's going to remember it. And as long as the check clears, who cares? But then when it comes to me, I get so embarrassed. Oh my God, this reel just was my worst performing reel. No one cares. Yeah. No one even knows. No one's going to remember it.
I agree.
And it's just so much easier to tell someone else that. And then I think actually the third thing is they don't see the value in their platform. So when it comes to actually setting rates and trying to negotiate deals, and they think, oh no, you're way overcharging. And do you not see the value in your audience and in your reach and who you are? And a lot of brands, especially I've seen, which I didn't expect, a lot of lifestyle and home brands want to diversify. They want a male audience. And I'm telling them, you have this audience and this reach that they want, and it's engaged. And maybe it feels a little bit outside the box for you because you feel like your audience is X percent this and they really only follow you for soccer, but who cares? And then when it comes to me and setting my rates, I way undercharge myself. And the same thing I should be telling myself, I think, oh, but me. And it could be the fear of, again, chasing away money by possibly overcharging. But one thing I've learned is you want to work with the brands that are going to pay you what you're worth. And depending on the brand, I'll say yes to it if it's someone I really want to work with. But now if my agent sets a rate and they say it's out of budget, as disappointing as it is to me, then I think, okay, well then they obviously don't see the value.
Right.
And I don't want to work with them. So yeah, I would say I tell them, don't care. No one cares that much. Be yourself. It's not meant to be that serious.
Mm-hmm.
And see the value in your audience and the platform you've built. All the same things I should probably tell myself every day.
Right. Well, I'm taking the advice too. Sometimes I get really in my head because I think, well, I'm not the current or former professional athlete. My experience with the sport is Division III career playing at a women's college in the middle of Georgia. And growing up, I knew that Mia Hamm existed. I knew that David Beckham had come to play at a team in LA, but I don't really think I even grasped the concept that MLS existed until I moved to DC in like 2012.
I don't think that's isolated to you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So
I was trying to figure out how to say that.
You're not special. No. That happens to everybody.
I was trying to say that more in a way of like, yeah, that's because MLS was.
Yes. Oh, no, you're absolutely right. Well, and then I think when, and this is I would love to hear your opinion on this, because soccer Twitter, it's a very interesting space.
Mm.
And I have the most followers and a lot of engagement on that platform. But when you're talking about people who know about soccer and people who like soccer, the most aggressive and most extreme ones and the most knowledgeable ones are on Twitter. And so when I first started creating content, I was trying so hard to make sure that whatever script I wrote or whatever information I provided was the most comprehensive and was not going to have any holes poked in it. And I tried to save myself by creating content that wasn't match day responses or lineup analysis or anything tactical, even though I like talking about that kind of stuff with my like fantasy league group chat. But I got so in my head thinking that I needed to know the most and that it needed to be perfectly packaged. Mm-hmm. And now I'm at the point where if anyone wants to argue, especially with the US men's national team, if anyone wants to argue about who got called up, what Greg Berhalter was thinking, et cetera, et cetera, I'm always like, can you leave my mentions, please? Can you get out? I actually don't. I'm creating a vibe here and I don't want to have this. And it's funny how many people have said, okay, they just don't say anything. Because all my content now is, it's a fan POV. And when I say fan, I mean someone showing up who knows a lot and someone showing up who knows nothing and someone who's going to be on their couch and might not go to a game anytime soon, but at least they got to see what I saw when I was at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Like El Trafico, which I'm going to come back, I think.
You should. You had already committed.
Yeah. 4th of July. That sounds...
Weather will be much better.
Right. But yeah, so I think that there's so much that I've talked myself in and out of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your tweet about content and having what I imagine are just hundreds of ideas, just waiting, patiently waiting. It's really hard. And soccer Twitter, it's truly a great place to hang out on sometimes and other times, I think. Do any of y'all have jobs?
Right.
Because you tweet a lot. And are you okay? Because you don't seem like you are.
I mean, I've had to take a step back from Twitter in general.
Yeah.
Because it is really, again, using the word consuming space. Every social media platform is a consuming space. And even when I was still very heavily in NFL Twitter and NBA Twitter, and a couple years ago when I didn't know how to just leave my mentions as is, it was very draining to read mentions, and I always felt like I had to argue back. And I mentioned this to someone the other day about how I took a step back, and they said, yeah, actually, I've noticed that I don't really see you on there anymore. For that same reason, and for me too, I never played. Again, I'm relatively new to the sport in the last like 4 or 5 years. So I get really in my head as far as, you want to talk about imposter syndrome.
Right.
Like, I didn't play, I'm new, I'm just coming in, and I know what I'm comfortable talking about, what I'm not. So when it comes to tactical analysis, all of that, I will never touch that. And even on shows I've done, I've said, that is not my strength, and that is not what I want to be. I don't want to be an analysis. I don't want to be really a commentator. That's not my strength. I have a whole other aspect that I want to do. And so I not even touch that with a 10-foot ball on Twitter I would leave massive holes for people to poke at.
Do you want to know what I realized, though? What in a space where unfortunately we're stuck with a scarcity mindset and we feel like we're competing with everyone on what our knowledge level is or what our niche is, you are blessed immeasurably by having a personality. That is something that is really hard to create if you don't have one. And there are a lot of current and former professional athletes who try to get into this space and don't, because they have the experience of having played, but they just can't connect on the internet.
Yeah. Well, the thing is too, that's really interesting about that is we all have personalities. And I know how you're using the term personality, right. But we all have that personality, and it takes the right, well, it takes comfort. And it maybe takes, if we're talking in the landscape of media, say they want to be a media personality, the right producer and the right people around them to bring out the side and their strengths that people want to see. But it comes back to what sucks about social media is nowadays you have to have the comfort and the personality to shine on social media for other people to take notice and maybe be like, you should be a commentator. You should be a host, because some people would be really excellent, but 99% of the world is not comfortable with putting themselves out there.
I have a really, really hard time whipping my camera out to talk to it in a public space.
Same.
It is so hard.
And so to me, actually, with that said, I feel like not just in soccer, but in every sport, it's harder to say, and so I don't have the solution. I'm just saying I challenge all of us that we should really open our circles as to who we give voices to, because there are so many, like, again, the voices that exist are excellent, and there are so many others, and there should be space for everybody. And we're continuing to look in the same pockets, in the same social media circles, when not everybody is comfortable putting themselves out there, but would make great XYZ. And we all know life comes down to who you know, for better or for worse. it can also, even as a creator myself, sometimes I just look around. I'm like, dude, I know so many people that are doing so many cool things, and we're always picking the same people
right.
over and over and over again. And if we all ultimately want to grow the game, that also means bringing in so many different perspectives. So yeah, I feel like you're correct. Thank you. Because I, again, this was all unintentional. And I just try to be myself. I really try to be myself right. on social media. Right. And it has gotten me in some really incredible places. So I do not take those blessings for granted. And I also, one, really just encourage people to not be embarrassed of the content you create and put yourself out there if you're comfortable. But again, not everyone's comfortable. So I also really would love to see all of us just open our circles and open our minds when it comes to who we're collaborating with and giving opportunities to, because to your point, especially when we're looking at former professional athletes, some of these people would be excellent at all of these things. Yeah. But maybe again, they might not have the best personality for one thing, but we can all find their strengths in something else.
I think that that's a fantastic piece of insight, because it's reminding me of my experience at the World Cup, which I know you did a ton of social media for FIFA in a very, very impactful way. My physical experience there was so overstimulating and overwhelming, and was one of the biggest, fastest and most meaningful existential crises I've ever had. I did 19 matches in 16 days, and I told friends and family members that I was traveling there with people, but I really was alone for a lot of the time. And I don't know if it was out of embarrassment of the idea of going to the world's biggest event all by myself, or if it was just that I wanted people to know that I was going to be safe by saying mm-hmm. I was going with other people. I was very safe, but it really impacted me when it came to who I am as a member of society and then how I participate from a content perspective. And this is separate of it happening in Doha and just the nature of the World Cup this past cycle. But mm-hmm. I witnessed so many people creating content and just whipping their phones and cameras out so quickly and invading the space of others to capture something. And I don't feel comfortable occupying that space. And a lot of content I feel like I've missed out on has been because I don't want to ask for a photo. I don't want to take video of strangers without their consent. And I then wondered, how do I exist in this space and show you what I'm seeing without capitalizing on these moments? Mm-hmm. And then there was so much of the viral content outside of the games that mm-hmm. was the same thing. There are so many people sharing the same experiences had by those creators or those people who are visiting who were willing to put their phones out and take video of someone. And I thought, to your point about personalities, that is opening my mind right now. We are so very accustomed to rewarding the people who really shove their way into a space. And there is a very particular kind of person that is comfortable doing that. And it is why there is such a lack of diversity in the space of content creation sometimes. And I think that those people are rightly rewarded, because I do know that they're working hard, but they're also oftentimes breaking rules and maybe not legally, but just the social cues. In that situation, I feel that now I'm realizing when I say people do or do not have a personality, it's that we are accustomed to seeing one kind of personality. And so maybe if you're not good at public speaking, or if you're not good at speaking fast to capture someone's attention in the first 3 seconds of a TikTok, or if you're not on a particular platform built for your skills, mm-hmm. then yeah, of course, if I am of the opinion that you don't have that personality. And I think the thing that I've started to realize about soccer more than any other sport is we do give space in a grassroots way to a lot of different voices. And it's been very, very eye-opening for me as someone who didn't just quit their job to go full-time with soccer. I've been working in conservative politics for the 10 years that I've been out of college. And part of the reason why I created Between Clean Sheets was to have a creative outlet that wasn't that. And it just, over the past, I don't know, 7 years now, it's been one of the most emotionally and mentally draining experiences of my life. Mm-hmm. And it was a very difficult space to be in because it's my professional career, something I worked very hard for. But I just kept changing my perception and growing farther and farther away from it. And I think any modicum of confidence that I've had to get into the space of soccer has been because it feels like far more welcoming place than most other sports spaces. And so that's, to your point, opening your mind up to what these personalities can be or who can provide you that content is a challenge that I think I would be definitely willing to accept now that I've wrapped my mind around it.
Yeah, I would agree with that because, again, in a professional sense, I'm newish to the space. And the imposter syndrome hit. And I was also very overwhelmed in a good way of how welcomed I was in the space and how very much people, and you know, I can be honest, if I start a new show and say, hey, these are not my strengths, I did not play and I don't understand the game on that level. So that's just an area I can't touch. And people say, that's okay. And like, we'll teach you. You'll learn from us, which is great. And you don't necessarily always get that. And then I would just say too, I think I just encourage everyone to, again, to your comfort level, to just create and post and be yourself because Everyone does it. And again, no one's really thinking twice about it. And I know that's easier said than done because some people, it's just not in their comfort level and that's completely fine. I'm really speaking to the people that have thought about it, kind of want to do it, are scared to, don't, you know, maybe a little embarrassed, and that's okay. We've all been there. But just do it. And I think a tweet I found earlier this week that I posted that I just keep thinking about that said, you know, if you're thinking about just posting it, post it. The downside is no one cares that much. And like the downside is there is no downside because No one cares that much. So we're not going to think about it. And the upside, it could be monumental. And I look at so many friends across all sports who have just continued to create and continue to post. And now they're doing really cool things. And I think it's so cool to see. And it's just a beautiful example of no one cares.
Right.
Because They're doing really cool things now. And if I look back and they probably are thinking this one video where maybe they're embarrassed to post it. Maybe I saw it. Maybe I didn't. And maybe I don't remember it. And it doesn't matter. So yeah, I'm really speaking to the people that have thought about it and like have maybe things they want to do and ideas, but are a little nervous to do it.
That's actually me with my tooth right now. My freshman year of college, I got almost my entire front tooth knocked out during a game. Yeah. And it's been 15 years now. And it just got to the point over Christmas where the tooth needed to be extracted, an implant put in. So I'm like currently wearing a fake front tooth for like the next 2 months. I'm so glad that you say that. But to me, it's like I can feel just how uncomfortable it is.
I have no idea.
Well, I got to the point the other day where I thought, I want to share the content, but I don't want to have the stress of whether or not I put this little clip-on tooth in or not. So I'm just not going to wear it. And I haven't for some of my content on Instagram. It's actually, it's endearing, but it's also almost annoying now how many people are like, keep it out. Don't put it in. Then they're like, you're in your Ovechkin era. He's, you know, the hockey player in DC. And I actually, to me, I'm like, this is the only, knock on wood, the only like 2 months of my life that I'm going to be front toothless. So I might as well lean into it. And it's not going to change the things that I'm saying. So
you should. It could be your little calling card.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been very interesting. I think too that it feels kind of like the Wild West in soccer right now. And so there are people who are throwing a lot at the wall and seeing what sticks. So your encouragement to have more people throwing their own ideas at the wall and seeing what sticks, there's literally nothing that could go wrong.
No. And I would also encourage people, and I need to tell myself this too, that again, to your point, we feel like there's only opportunities and spaces are scarce. And so therefore you have to exist in this bubble. And it's understandable. I do it too. I have not executed on a lot of ideas because I feel like I need to do it myself out of fear of someone stealing it, or especially in the content creation space, you can just never be too sure. But I would also say collaborate with people, because we're all existing in our little lanes, a little bit too afraid to reach out, not sure how the other person would react or whatever it may be. But everyone's doing really cool stuff. And once we come together, it's only going to get better.
Right.
So that's advice I need to take to myself also, is I have all these ideas. I just need to ask for help or just team up with people, because we are all just out here creating. And there's a lot more power in us doing it together.
I agree. Yeah. I also, these conversations are always helpful because it helps me understand how people approach their content. And you said what I've definitely heard before, but it's always a great reminder that there is money in YouTube. YouTube is still valuable, even though
there's so much money in YouTube.
Yeah. It seems like everyone's attention span is shorter and TikTok is the only way to go. But I'm like, I have way more thoughts than can fit in a 3-minute TikTok. And there are some times where I've even tried to create reels to express myself, and I find myself cutting things down from 6 minutes to 90 seconds. I spend more time literally squeezing myself into those 90 seconds than if I had just put it on another platform and allowed myself to really express what I was saying.
And think about it. Like, as creators, obviously we have this level of quality and production that we think needs to go into things. YouTube, so much content exists, and sometimes people are just talking to the camera. And they make so much money
I know.
Talking to the camera that I wouldn't even put a lot of thought into it. These 6-minute videos you have, or these thoughts you have and things you want to say, just talk to the camera.
Yeah.
And however you want to edit it, just put it up there. Again, it's similar thing. There's no downside. Either people are going to see it and it's going to grow, or they're not going to see it, and it's okay.
Just sit there.
Yeah.
And I'll archive it later.
Right. There's so much money to be on YouTube.
Well, I currently have been doing my weekend vlogs. We talked about this before I pressed record, that staying in an Airbnb very close to the Rose Bowl. And my hope is, in what I'm doing, is to bring a little bit more price transparency. I want people to know how much it does cost for me, or for you, if you wanted to go to an away game to support your team, or for me to see the two teams in the league play at a really awesome venue. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's been something that I've really wanted to lean into this year. And sitting down and talking about that, as also as I've edited my World Cup vlogs, I've realized that the kind of the journal type download at the end of the day of just sharing how I'm feeling in that moment, and it not being like, this is Lusail Stadium, this is the seating capacity for the state, these are the games I went to. No, I'll say, oh my gosh, this is the game I just came from. It was bonkers. The last game that I went to was actually the Brazil-Korea game, and it was in that shipping container stadium that everyone was obsessed with, and I hadn't gone to it yet. And so I ended up buying a ticket. It was like the only ticket that I purchased, not through FIFA. I got it on StubHub or something. And you know, it's in categories, so you generally know where you're going to sit. But it wasn't until I walked up to the stadium that I knew exactly where my seat was. Mm-hmm. And it was in that moment that I was like, oh, I'm in somebody's supporter section, but I don't know who is.
You can't lose for that game. You're going to be in a fun supporter section.
Right. So to me, I'm like, who cares how many seats this place has? I'm going to tell you.
Imagine you're in the middle of Brazil supporter section.
I was. And it was so much. Because up to that point, I hadn't seen Brazil play. But every time I would get on the metro to go to a game, if Brazil was playing in another stadium and people were taking the metro somewhere else, you could be on a platform getting ready to transfer, and the train that you're not taking rolls up and it's full of yellow, and the doors open, and for like a good 20 seconds, you just hear the loudest noises you've ever heard, and then it closes and it zooms
and it's just
away.
Quiet.
And you're like, there goes all of Brazil on the way to their
match. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. But it's like, it's moments like that that I would much rather share, and they're just so much easier for me to explain than to try to do what I think there are other people that are really good at doing it, which is giving you the facts and the statistics. And I mean, even the writers at The Athletic, the writers that were doing all these things for SB Nation until recently, they remember so much more about this sport than I could ever. Right. My memory is so bad. So I'm like, oh, you remember that that's when they were traded and this is where they are now?
Because it's their strength.
Right. Yeah. So I think, and that's their personality. Mm-hmm. So they have the personality and it's perfectly suited for that kind of work.
Mm-hmm. I think you should, I love this idea that you're doing and you should just do it. I think one in, again, like if we're looking at everything in an effort to grow the game, it's just very interesting perspective. I think it can show the barriers of entry. Mm-hmm. And also at the same time, you can go support and have fun and have a great day out for not much money. It could be one or the other, depending right. on where you're going. And I love the idea of like, I would have, I don't know if you have it, but you know, the Metro experience and having that on film and things mm-hmm. like that. That's so cool.
Oh, I do.
Because there's a lot of things, like you said, there's a ton of content that exists outside the stadiums, in the stadiums, but there's a whole nother experience to going to a World Cup. And for most of us that didn't get to go, I would have loved to see, you know, the experience of, which you did a really good job of, because I saw them, you know.
Oh, thank you.
Getting on the Metro, and or also the pains of getting on the Metro,
yeah.
or
mm-hmm.
lack thereof, or the Uber system and things like that. But to me, I think because, again, you mentioned it earlier that you really want to do this POV of the fan, that is it.
Yeah.
And I really think that's your lane and that's your opportunity.
And I like it.
Because,
mm-hmm. There's so many people who are doing it. They just aren't recording it. And I want to be the person that watches them and experiences it myself and then allows the people who maybe are kind of precluded because of price or mm-hmm. precluded because of geography. They don't have a team nearby. Or they find out, oh, that MLS experience is cool. There's a USL team yeah. nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or they'll make the journey with me. Or
I mean, I really love that. And shoot, I lost my train of thought. But I think that, well, one, you should just go with it. I really like that. Oh, what I was going to say is it's also really great because maybe you or anyone that's not as comfortable sticking your camera in someone's face or having to go up to ask a stranger a question, like you're just recording what you would do.
Right.
But one thing I've learned as a creator is even what we think is the most mundane to you coming here, let's use the example of coming to LA, going to the Rose Bowl, going to this game is there's nothing exciting. Like this is my life, but it is exciting. And a decent TikTok of mine was just one of those day in the life around the house.
Right.
And someone commented, they're like, this was really relaxing to watch. And also at the same time, LOL, proof that everything is content. I was just cleaning the house. And again, yeah. it's not that exciting, but one, our life is a little bit more exciting than we think it is. And two, I've learned that content that is most relatable, people are going to watch because I can relate to you. Someone that is going to games on a private jet and sitting in suites, I don't relate to that.
No, and honestly, it's starting to piss society off.
Right, and like,
I would love to do it.
I might, honestly, if I'm being really honest, I don't even know if I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
It's never going to be me.
Right.
But going through the process of like, I'm a normal fan that got on I had to check in for my flight and get my boarding
Southwest
pass. Yes. And this is my process. You were just like me.
Yeah.
I'm just like that person, and that's really relatable. And I actually really think just from like a creator's perspective, like you have a lot of opportunity to succeed doing that.
Well, I now have more time to do it too. So I don't have a full-time job.
So you're going to St. Louis. What other games are you going to this year?
That's the wild thing is for the first time in my entire life, for the first time in the 5 years that I've been doing this really, I have not made any concrete plans through the year. Because normally I'm coordinating with the congressional calendar, my own work calendar, and I know that NWSL did a pretty decent job. I'm sure they worked together, or maybe it was coincidental, and that's just even more exciting. But NWSL and MLS have some really great overlapping schedules where teams from the same cities are playing each other that I would like to do. And then at one point in June, Austin hosts both Houston and Dallas within a single week. Yeah, and so I thought, I like Austin. I'll hang out in Austin. I used to just follow DC United everywhere, but what I'm realizing is it might be nice to branch out mm-hmm. a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're also sometimes really hard to watch, especially when I pay to be on the road to see them.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, I paid this much money for my season tickets, but then I paid this much money
to go travel.
Yeah. And I was telling Kelsey, my sister, that last year, DC collectively lost to Philadelphia 13 goals to zero. Mm-hmm. I ended up having to go on a work trip the weekend that they went up to Philly and lost that first game 6-0. And I thought, can you imagine?
How'd you go into that?
Well, you think about this. Again, content creation. Can you imagine if I had conceptualized content and written scripts, planned podcast interviews, wrapped my mind around the whole thing, then gone, done that all on my own dime.
And then, 6-0?
I'm like, I would be so, well, I would be so such a selfish brat about it because like, forget the team, forget like the money riding on it, forget ownership, anyone else like legitimately involved. It'd be like, well, my content is terrible and I'm so mad I'm here. You know? So I was like, oh, my work trip was probably for the best.
I like this idea though. I think that's really fun to travel around because there are like so many, the fan experience in every city is so different.
Yeah.
And super fun. And I would love to live through that perspective because, I mean, I'm on the West Coast, so I don't think I've ever been to any on the East Coast. I'd have to think about it. But to me, it's, well, let me live through this because I'm not getting out there anytime
soon.
Right.
Well, that was definitely my intent with the USL League One championship I did because it just so happened to be in this super small town that's about an hour and a half north of where my parents live right now in Georgia.
Okay.
And I knew the town well because I had friends. I moved to Georgia when I was a junior in high school.
Okay.
And I had friends who had gone to the college that that town is in. And so the whole story was just so incredible to even see them having a professional sports team. And they were so accommodating because, I mean, it was the same weekend as the MLS Cup.
Yeah, which was interesting.
Yeah, so it was like I almost split off and did the counterculture thing, it felt like, especially to my community. But to show up to Statesboro, freaking Georgia, with a city population of 30,000.
Okay.
The only USL team, well, USL League One for sure, but I imagine championship as well, that doesn't, the only one in a city that doesn't have a Target. They don't even have a Target, that's how small they are. But I was like, this is the most amazing experience. And here's my entire weekend of eating at every restaurant that the owner that I did a podcast with, the owner of the team told me to eat at. Then I went to the farmer's market on Saturday morning. Then I showed up early to the game. I did all the things that the game had to offer. It was actually a really good game. Yeah. So got that. And then I drove home with my parents. So it was great.
But that's so relatable.
Right. So.
Because you went as a fan and sometimes even too, like, we see a lot of content from like a media perspective, which is really cool because everybody wants to see how someone lives their life.
Mm-hmm.
Also, not everyone's going to get a credential.
Right.
But most people are going to walk in through the gates and have their bags checked like a normal person. And it's very relatable.
Yeah.
I think obviously as money and opportunity allows, I think you should go with that.
Well, the hope one day is to literally just be sponsored by Southwest so that I can fly for more.
Either a hotel or an airline partner.
Right? It's the least they could
do. Seriously. That's how I feel. Right. The least Marriott can do is sponsor me.
Oh my gosh, right?
Like, my Marriott lifetime status is, other than lifetime status, is not getting me what I need it to get me.
I truly made the mistake in my professional career of picking Hilton to be loyal to.
Early.
Yeah, I have since switched and I should have made the switch so much sooner. So
I'm not sponsored by Marriott. However,
Mr. Marriott,
if you're listening to this,
I actually, I'm going to whisper this. I weirdly have his contact information because Marriott's DC based and the Marriott's are LDS. So
really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, listen, Mr. Marriott.
Please help all of God's children, especially Megan Marriott. God would want it. Jesus Christ would want it.
By any means necessary.
Thank you for chatting with me.
This is great.
My laptop is at 3%, and I think I'm also at 3%. And you have been such an absolute angel to come hang out.
No, it's honestly, I think it's funny because I came here, the work event I came here for was technically basketball related. And then, like, yesterday I hung out with Jen.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, even at NBA All-Star, I was like somehow only hanging out with people in the soccer space.
They're always around.
But that's how it should be. I mean, it's what I do now.
Yeah.
And also, I think too, if I have the opportunity to like finally meet people IRL.
Yes.
I'm like, especially if you live on the East Coast.
And I do have to be careful about that sometimes though, but to me, I'm like, this person seems reputable. You say that and I'm like, I actually have made the mistake of maybe,
really?
Well, here's the thing.
You can say it off the record. You can stop recording. No.
Right. Okay. This was great. I had a great time. Love you. Bye.
Thank you.